Here's longtime NFLer, joins us every week. You can check out his podcast, The More To It Podcast, our buddy Marcellus Wiley. We'll ask you the question we've been throwing around, Marcellus. If you can look into your crystal ball in 3 years, who is more likely to be the face of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow?
Oh, Patrick Mahomes. His level of talent, I still don't think he's fully tapped into it. On top of the fact that he has intangibles, and on top of that, he was raised for this moment. Like, you got to think, coming in a household as a professional athlete, having a son, those dinner table conversations that Patrick Mahomes was privy to having with his father are really paying dividends as you watch him in critical moments, especially when his team needs the most. You add that childhood rearing, like, just me coaching my son right now is a completely different experience than watching some other kids just go to any coach at the park and rec. For whatever reason, I just drop jewels and gems and just let them know subtleties that no one else knows. Patrick Mahomes got that from his father. On top of insane arm talent, on top of having the mentality to deal with all that comes his way and come out successful. Joe Burrow's amazing. Joe Burrow is certainly a talent, certainly is going to be right there. But I think in that comparison, there has to be a king, and I think that king is going to be Patrick Mahomes.
Marcellus, how does an organization evaluate a quarterback, talking about Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow? They're so elite, and they're going to put themselves in positions to win basically every year that they're around. But we were talking about Dak earlier. Is that as far as Dak can bring you, what we saw yesterday? Is that what he's got? Like, it seems like anything more is outside of his limitations. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. You know, I learned a long time ago when playing the ultimate team sport of football that you can put makeup on and dress up anybody. Like, football by design, because the field is so big, go to your local high school and just walk around. It's 100 yards long, 50 yards wide. It's like you can't cover all of that no matter who you are as a defender, or you can't properly apply all your skill to it as an offensive skill player unless you're put in proper position and you have proper resources supporting you. So Bill Belichick understood that probably better than anybody, certainly going back to his dynasty years, how to dress someone up, how to put makeup on a situation. Tom Brady had to evolve into who he became. But during that time, they dressed him up properly. A lot of times that's defense. A lot of times that's a running game. A lot of times those are weapons on the outside. But it's this critical balance you must strike to get optimal results. Now, if you got an insane quarterback, you can have lesser talent around them and do it. But if you have a guy that's, you know, middle of the pack, a little above average, whatever you want to call Dak, well, then you have to start making sure you address it properly. I tell you this, and I believe this in the bottom of my heart. If Tony Pollard didn't get hurt in that game yesterday, I think the Dallas Cowboys advance. But Tony Pollard not being there, and now we're going back to the old model Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott and what they were able to do. That's not the same amount of firepower. Tony Pollard, every time he gets the ball, has a chance to strike. Now, I know that's the 49ers' defense, but I would have been able to roll the dice and have more confidence with Pollard playing the entire game. That said, Dak Prescott can get you there. I mean, if Brock Purdy's getting you there, you can say Brock Purdy's better than Dak. Yeah, that's a pretty low, pretty weak argument. But what he is better dressed up in terms of defense, in terms of skill players, and in terms of a running game. That's what Dak doesn't have in totality, all those pieces.
Was Cincinnati that good, or was Buffalo that poor, or somewhere in between?
Let's start with Buffalo that poor. And let's be realists, because I'm so emotionally invested in the Bills like you guys are, by locale, proximity, playing for them, that we saw signs of this throughout the year. And we tried to ignore it. We were trying to, like, all right, they got off to the fast start. And we're like, oh, it's Buffalo. Then they started to sputter, and we wanted to ignore it. But it showed its ugly head yesterday when it comes to not only home field advantage, but snow field advantage. Like, it was snowing. What else can the Buffalo Bills ask for than home field and snow and still go out there with Hamlin being in the building, and you're like, what is going on? There's not the electricity and the juice, especially offensively, and in the defensive run game, trying to stop them from running the ball up and down the field, that you're accustomed to seeing for the Buffalo Bills. So it looked like step one was the Bills just didn't play their best ball. Step two is, hey, they came in with a plan. They're going to run the football. They're going to protect themselves in the elements, and they're going to have Joe Burrow and his confidence and his moxie take over when you need it. And that was a winning game plan for them. I give them props. They took full advantage of the Bills that had showed that they would leak oil at times, but that was a costly time to do it, obviously, divisional playoff game.
Yeah, I think there's a number of people taking heat in Buffalo and Western New York today. I think Josh Allen played really poorly, but that offense is set up where it's he's got to be Superman. Like, that's, they have no run game. He leads them in rushing every single week. You can't have that. Their offensive line wasn't strong enough. Like, there are areas that need to improve, but it sounds as if the head coach is starting to take some heat. Like, he got outclassed yesterday. And he's a defensively minded coach. They, you know, Burrow torched them yesterday. The offense didn't take steps. They didn't seem to evolve over the course of the year. Is that reasonable for Sean McDermott to be feeling heat?
Absolutely. Nobody's exempt. No one's above reproach. Player or obviously a coach as well. Being a player and now coaching, I realize how difficult all of those things are individually and to integrate. And do not look at this situation at face value and forget that without Brian Daboll being there, they lost some juice. They lost some creativity. They lost some punch. And it just looked that way. Like, you know, it's not always your plan A, especially in the playoffs. Like, everyone's like, oh, look at the Buffalo Bills, and they were great this year, even without Brian Daboll. Yeah, but what you haven't considered is when the team comes out and they play your fastball well, now where's your curveball? And maybe a defensive-minded coach like McDermott doesn't have the curveball. He just has the fastball. Because you're right, that offense was so designed to just fly with the cape of Josh Allen that it didn't look like it was going to be able to have a plan B, able to have a curveball. And you can see that when we're talking about Cincinnati, you can look at them in multi-dimensions. You can say they can run the ball. They have the talent and resources there. They do also have a strong passing game. They also have a quarterback that doesn't have to beat you just one way and put everything on his shoulders. So it just seemed like it was a team out there going against individuals, and they weren't cohesive, and they weren't on the same page in terms of plan. And maybe it's because they didn't have the same plan. Without Brian Daboll, that plan is not as strong.
We're chatting with Marcellus Wiley. I think it's clear what the biggest story this week is going to be, and that'll be the status of Patrick Mahomes. It's a high ankle sprain. He was limping around on Saturday. They got the win. If he's at 60%, 70%, if he is not mobile, how difficult is it going to be for the Chiefs to beat the Bengals?
Really difficult. Really difficult. Look, it's hard to respect something you don't fear. And if Patrick Mahomes can't run, then I don't fear that dimension of this offense. And as you saw, even in the game we saw this weekend, he started off the game was being mobile and running around. And those plays count. Those plays are being extended. That is putting pressure on the defense. Now, as a defender, if I know you can't go anywhere, you guys watch the USC-Utah game, Pac-12 championship, and it basically came down to the injury at the quarterback position, and all of a sudden he lost his mobility. Utah was able to shut him down. I think some of the same here. Patrick Mahomes won't be the same. Like, just without the medicine, without the needles, you can't return back from a high ankle sprain in a week. It ain't happening. Now, he got the medicine during the half. He also had his adrenaline pumping, and he also was in the moment already. Okay, now you got to go back out there, already compromised, pregame, get the medicine, and you know you can't move around, so you won't be in the same emotional, physical place, and go out there and play. He certainly will be compromised, and I know he's going to try his damnedest to go out there and play, but I just can't see him being anything close to what we know Patrick Mahomes is capable of. With that said, I think Cincinnati's going to smell blood in the water and take advantage of them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That's going to be a huge part of the storyline leading up to next week. Great catching up with you, Marcellus. We'll do it again this time next week.
All right, brothers. Take care. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer, former Bill, former Cowboy. He had a tough weekend, man.
Yeah.
Good tough. Line. Good line. Tough to respect something if you don't fear it.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That's true, man. And that, like, that was a big part of what happened over the weekend. You could tell Andy Reid was playing very conservative.
Yeah.
They were running the ball. That was Mahomes was not moving around. Like, and he's right. Like, a high ankle sprain, we know what that's not going to recover between now and Sunday.
No.
Can it become a little bit better? Can they shoot it up? Can they ice it up? Yeah. I mean, there's things they're going to do. But
it could also go south and be a complete mess, and he can't play.
That's it. Like, he was running on adrenaline Saturday. Of course, today they're going to say he's okay. It could be a mess.
Yeah.
Like, behind the scenes, they could be like, we're in big trouble here.
Sure.
You know, publicly they're not going to say it, but yeah. That'll be an interesting prop. Do you think we see Chad Henne at any point next week? You think Chad Henne takes at least one snap?
I say no. I say they're going to tape it up. They're going to medicate it, all of that fun stuff that they do. And he will grind through. He won't be the same, though.
No,
and that's the difference.
His wife gets a lot of airplay. Like, they have to show her every game. It's like, yeah. This is, and I think that she likes that too.
Well, listen, he's the face of the league, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
face of the league, and Marcellus is adamant. He's still going to be the guy.
She drives people crazy, though, doesn't she?
Yeah, his brother drives people crazy. Like, he's got
brother pretty chirpy.
He's
but
yeah.
What is the
he's,
brother? Doesn't he have like his own thing going on, or is he like a hanger around? Or
no, I think he's trying to be an influencer. So he's always on the field doing dances for TikTok and stuff. And
yeah, but
he shows up places.
I know
and
how
says,
the game
you know
works
who I am.
In pro sports. Doesn't somebody like? Doesn't another teammate say? Why doesn't that guy go do TikTok somewhere else? Like, why is he always around?
No one's saying
somebody would have a problem with that.
Not to him.
Not to him.
Not publicly, they won't.
He's the star.
Privately, they could. No one's saying a word to Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. Dude, whatever star players I ever played with, if one of their brothers was hanging around always doing TikToks on the bench during practice or something,
well,
I would not have a problem saying, hey, man, what the hell's your brother
doing? I don't know if that's happening. Let's be clear. I don't think he's got access to the practice
facility.
Dude,
I've seen him on game day on the sidelines doing TikTok videos.
Yeah.
It's different, though, the NFL. Like, you see in San Fran yesterday, like, Jerry Rice is there.
Yeah.
Montana's cruising around.
It's,
like, there's guys
show.
On the show.
It's
yeah, they're all on the
show.
Sideline and walking around.
There's a lot more access. The NHL is heading in that direction. They're way behind on a lot of different things. But you go to a basketball game, it's meet and greets. It's very casual. Football, same thing. Guys are warming up.
You can't get to the field of the play,
no,
though,
yeah,
with hockey.
Know.
That's the
in
problem.
Hockey, that'll never be a
no,
part of
but
the...
But we are seeing now wives bringing their kids and putting them in the glass and guys waving
know,
to them and
that's
all
as
that,
close
high-fiving
as you can
them.
Get. That's as close as you can get. You go never. To baseball, you hang around the... Like, baseball's hilarious.
Yes.
I've been down on the field at Blue Jay games. Everyone's just, you're just around talking. The players are
they
stopping chats.
It's so casual.
You can't get there with hockey, though. You can't get on the ice.
Well, you're not going to get on the ice, but it's become more of like in warm-up now, there's conversations. There's pictures with brothers on the other team and stuff like
that. True.
They are migrating a little bit into that type of casual situation as opposed to like you're not supposed to talk to that guy or look at that guy that you know and played
oh
with a junior.
God.
That was what it
was
like growing up.
I was stretching at center ice in Greensboro, and yeah. Jason Allison was across right beside me, and I was just talking to him. And Gary Roberts skated right by me, and he said, who do you think you're talking to? We got a game tonight.
Yes.
And never again.
But
never talked to another guy.
That's what I mean. That's over. Guys are yucking it up. Guys are... It's a casual situation until it's not. Now, the game is different nowadays. It's not trying to kill each other. You're trying to win games. But it's gone are those days where a teammate pulls you aside
right.
and goes, you can't talk to that guy that, you know, I used to play against Strutty and Tyson Nash and all those guys. We wouldn't really chat before the game. Night before, go for dinner, or go for a beer or whatever. But the day of the game, it was kind of like, hey, we'll see you after the game.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
But
and even that, like, there were some rivalries where it was like, you couldn't even do that.
Right.
Like after the game, meet in a tunnel or something.
Yeah.
Probably didn't go over well.
Nowadays, it's texting and you know, these guys.
Now, after games, it's hilarious. Like, hockey, again, is still a little bit different because it's a different field of play.
Right.
There's no congregating. The team that loses, they leave.
Yeah.
But in the NBA, NFL, it's jersey swaps. It's how's everyone doing?
I always look at that and I'm like, you just got your ass beat and you're like yucking it up and the high fives and you got to make. The guy that would bug me is if the guy that was terrible and just they have to be with the like, the biggest celeb on the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to knuckle up and you got to do the hug with the. It's just like go away.
That buzzer goes and it's over, man.
I respect it though. Like I like that. We got to.
It's different, right? Exactly. A lot of it was just. It is silly. Like, what, you can't talk and warm up? Like, you're not going to be prepared to play?
Yeah.
Raptors 1-1 over the course of the weekend. I'm not sure if people are happy or disappointed with that, but we'll get into it into the next hour. The Leafs are back in action tonight with the Islanders in town. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.